Oh, well, I'm sort of like a woman, you know. They put everything in the stall and in the car, but the kitchen sink when they move, you know, when they go to visit. Well, I'm afraid I'm that way. When I go to camp meeting, I take this huge box of notebooks with me, and most of which I never look at. But I was on the airplane, so I decided they couldn't bring all that, so I stuck all these notes in here, and I will use about 3 pages of it, you know. But praise the Lord, I'm getting better. I only got one notebook this time. You know, people, you need to seek after God with all your heart and soul. The most important thing in your life should be to come into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to come into a closer relationship with him means you have to seek him. You seek him in his word. And you seek him in your quiet time to hear him talk to you. It's just... And love God. Oh, you need to love him. Love him. Just love God. Just let God, ask God to pour his love into you that it can flow out of you to other people. And today we're going to talk about a perverse spirit. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 19:14. And here in 19:14, this is a. I've got some.
Oh, you had some.
I have some.
Well, never mind.
Thank you, though, very much. That's very kind of you. Open your Bibles to 19:14. And it's here, this is a prophecy against Egypt. And he talks about Egypt being rebellious, worshiping idols. And it comes down to 12. He says, where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell me now. Let them know what the Lord of hosts has proposed against Egypt. The princes of Zion have become fools. The princes of Nob are deceived. They have denuded Egypt. Who are the mainstay of the tribes, says the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst, and they have caused Egypt to err. To err means to make mistakes in all her work, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. Neither will be any work for Egypt, which is the head of the tail, the palm, or the bushrush may do. In that day, Egypt will become like women and be afraid and fear, waving the hand of the Lord of the hosts, which he waves over it. Okay. It's put a perverse spirit, and a perverse spirit comes on the rebellious. Those who are rebellious. And if you look it up in the dictionary, in Webster's dictionary, it says perverse, deviating what is considered right or good. That's the first. Second, persisting in error, stubborn and contrary. You ever known anybody just persist to be rebellious and just persist in doing what's wrong and being stubborn and saying, I'm going to do it that way because I want to? I'll always remember once I was teaching, and this man kept referring to the enemy as the dummy. And I said, John, he's not a dummy. And you don't have the right scripturally to call him bad names. Please don't do that. And so then I got the Bible out and I showed him in Jude where it says that not even Michael the archangel raised a railing accusation against him, but said the Lord rebuke you. And then I showed him in Peter where people who did that were called brute beasts without understanding. When I got through, he looked at me and said, I don't care what that says, I'm going to do it anyway. Now, that's a perverse spirit. That's a contrary, stubborn spirit. The second thing is obstinately disobedient or difficult, intractable, rebellious. Now, those are the definitions of the perverse spirit out of Webster's New World Dictionary, Second College Edition, 1976. Do y'all know why the dictionary was written? Why Webster wrote a dictionary? Does anybody in here know why Webster wrote the dictionary? Webster wrote the dictionary so people could understand the Bible. Webster was a biblical scholar. There's a translation from the Hebrew and the Greek written by Noah Webster. But people had difficulty understanding the words. They didn't understand what some of the words meant. So he wrote the dictionary. And that's the reason you have a dictionary today. You know, I have people arguing about what the Bible means, but I never had anybody arguing about what the dictionary says. And so, the root meaning of the word perverse is also is diverted into perversion, taking what is good and perverting it into something that is evil. Okay. Now, Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Now let's look at Proverbs 15:4. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it is a breach in the spirit, or breaks the spirit. And so when you have a perverse tongue, you have a breach or break in your spirit that opens you to the enemy. When you're rebellious, stubborn, and obstinate. Okay. Now, and look at Deuteronomy 32:20. Deuteronomy 32:20. And here God is speaking, and he says, I will hide my face for them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. So the area that you're perverse in, that's the area you don't have any faith in. And you're unable to stand in faith. And remember, Romans says, everything that is not of faith is sin. Y'all look at me sort of funny. Let's look. Turn over to Romans. Oh, Jesus, where is it, Lord? 14:23? I think so. It's at the end. For everything that is not of faith is sin. That used to really bother me. But then the Lord showed me that any time that you do anything in your life that is not based on faith that God has led you by His Holy Spirit to follow this course of action is sin. If you're doing something and this is an area and you're doing something that God has not led you by the Spirit to do it, it's sin. That's where the rubber hits the road, folks. Are you going to be led by your feelings, led by your emotions, led by your soul, or are you going to be led by the Spirit of God? Now, Jesus never did anything that He wasn't led by the Holy Spirit. Everything that He said, the Father has told me what to say and how to say it. That's the new NIV translation. That's in John. And so, if you have an area that you haven't committed to God, that you are leaning on your own strength to do it, and your own understanding and your own strength, something that you know you may know and your spirit may witness to you that it's not right, but it's still something you want to do, like buying a lotto ticket. Now, if you can walk in there and buy that lotto ticket and the Holy Spirit says, go buy the lotto ticket, then go ahead. But if the Holy Spirit hadn't led you, but Lord, you know I'm going to use it for your work. I could give Pastor Chris enough money to fix this thing up and to buy a new Elaine house, and I could send money here, and I could send money there, and I could just do so much, and... What does God say about that? Don't bring defiled offerings into my court. Look at we'll deviate here just a minute. Let's look at Isaiah. Okay. Praise you, Lord God. Isaiah 65, verse 13. Okay, starting at verse 11. Isaiah 65. But for those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for fortune, who furnish a drink offering to destiny. Those are the gambling gods. Therefore I will number you for the sword. You shall bow down for the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. And when I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil in my eyes and chose to do that in which I do not delight. Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat. You shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink. But you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants will sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for a grief of spirit. You shall leave my name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name. That's a gambler's curse. They are offering drink offerings to the gambling gods. And that's what you do when you go and you buy a lotto ticket. You're offering a 1 in 150 million odds. You're making an offering to the god of fortune, the god of destiny. That's what you're doing. You're making an offering. If you can do that, being led by the Holy Spirit, go right ahead. If you don't, if you're not being led by the Spirit, think of what God says about it.
that okay, Pastor Chris?
Praise God.
But if somebody does win, they can buy me a house.
Praise your Lord God. Praise your Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you and bless you and glorify you. Well, let's move on. The perverse spirit has no faith. They move in the flesh. They don't move in the Spirit of God. Now look at Acts 20:30. Acts 20:30. And here Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus. And he's in Miletus, and he sent the back to Ephesus to have the elders or the overseers of the church come down. And the word is used interchangeably. That's one of the two places in the Bible where the words elders and overseers, episcopa and presbytera are used interchangeably. Okay. And he says, for I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone about this day and night with tears. And so, Christians will rise up in rebellion and with false teachings to deceive the people and draw them away. Okay. Now look at Philippians 2:15. In Philippians 2:15, it says, we read this yesterday, we read Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I gave you that out of the new Living Translation, for it's God who is working in you to give you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Okay. Do all things without murmuring or disputing, that you may come blameless and harmless children of God without fault. Okay. You don't grumble and complain and be rebellious. In the midst of a crooked, perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Okay. And so here you have this perverse, rebellious generation around us. And so let us look now at a description given to people who rise up in rebellion and refuse to acknowledge God and lean on their own flesh. Let's look at the downward spiral that occurs to these people. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Starting with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, and God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things which are made, even the eternal power that the Godhead, so they are without excuse. What's that saying? It's saying that it is obvious when you look around you and just sit and think about it that God's power and majesty is clearly shown by creation. To think the human eye has a million parts, different operating parts, and to say it came together as an accident insults intelligence. But yet they are intelligent men who suppress that and prefer to say that you're some sort of accident that came out of the primordial soup. But if you're a mathematician or a statistician and you figure the odds of that happening, the number is so large you can't write it down. It defies description. You say it's impossible because the odds are so tremendously against it. It takes more faith to believe in that than it does to believe in a creator God. You know, you find a watch. You're walking along the path and you find a watch and you pick it up and you look at it. And you say, where'd this come from? Somebody told you, well, that's just an accident of nature that just sort of came together down there. You'd laugh at him like he had two heads. You're looking for the watchmaker. It's obvious a watchmaker made the watch. You know, but they find something much more complicated than a watch, and they say it came together by accident. The story is told by Sir Isaac Newton that he had constructed a copy of the universe with all the planets, a planetarium in his office that would turn. And someone came in one day, one of his theological friends who believed in evolution, and looked at it and said, where'd that come from? Who made it? He said, oh, it's just an accident. It just came into being. He said, no. Who made it? He said, well, it's just an accident. It just came into being, you know. It just sort of materialized there. Okay, and so yet they are people. And because they knew God and they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, they begin to pervert. And as they begin to pervert it, this spirit of perversion, perverse spirit comes into you as you begin to suppress it, and you become darkened, and you lose knowledge. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God into an image made like the corruptible man, and then downward birds, full-footed beasts, and then finally creeping things. Therefore, because of this, God gave them to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their body among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And for this reason, God gave them over to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned with lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error that was due. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do things which were not fitting. And so we have this downward spiral of perverting what is natural to something that is unnatural. But yet it's being darkened. And their conscience is being seared so that they will get in your face. The ones that have a real strong perverse spirit will get in your face and scream and yell and tell you that what I'm doing is right. You've got no right to judge me. And here you have what Queer Nation calls an in-your-face queer. Excuse me. But that's what they say. And you have these people who are sucked into this perversion. Now, there are lots of different types of perversions. And some of them are much more foul, much more destructive to the human being and to the human nature and to the psyche than homosexuality and lesbianism. You have this perverse spirit will pervert you into relationship with animals, with children, unable to keep marriage vows, and then this is what it's filled with, becoming filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, and that's okay, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, proud, violent, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Y'all ever met anybody who was undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful? Praise your Lord God. When the Iraqis invaded Kuwait, they tortured people that they did not agree with to death. Literally. You had people who were unmerciful. Unloving. Unforgiving. And commonly called psychopaths. Without a conscience. And this is the end of the line for the perverse spirit. Second Timothy 1:9 talks about people that are under the law, people who are placed under the law, people who are not led by the Holy Spirit, who are rebellious. Praise you, Lord Jesus. First Timothy, I think it is. I've got Second Timothy here, but I think it's First Timothy. Yes. Knowing that the law was not made for righteous man, but for the lawless, insubordinate, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, murderers of fathers, mothers, manslayers, fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, or anything else is contrary to sound doctrine. A perverse spirit is a very powerful spirit. It's a very strong spirit. But you know, folks, demons are a lot like dogs. Y'all ever step on somebody, go walk up on somebody's front porch, and you hear this dog barking under the porch, you know? And you really don't know what's down there. It may sound terrible, but it comes out, it might be just a little feist dog, you know, that's just barking, you know, and you can just sort of brush him away. Nipping at your ankles. Sounds terrible, and puts fear in you because when you hear them barking, you don't know what's down there. And it might be an old cur dog that will hit you from behind when you aren't looking, try to get around behind you and bite you. But it might be a Rottweiler or a pit bull, too. And that thing just come tearing out of there and tear you apart. And you just don't know what's down there. And demons are like that. Some of those demons are powerful spirits. When some spirits are meaner than others within the same group. Some of the pit bulls, they got the ability there, and they might attack a little bit. I remember among other things, one of my jobs in Salina, Kansas, is being chief dog catcher. I'm public health officer, and we're in charge of the kennels. And people ask me what I do. I tell them I'm chief dog catcher. But walking through, and we had this one animal in there. It was the meanest looking pit bull I've ever seen. And he just sit there and snarled at you. And I said, what are we doing with him? He said, we're waiting on a court order to be able to put him to sleep. He's the one that jumped over the fence and ran down and climbed the neighbor's fence and killed their dog. I said, well, why don't we have our top on the cage in here? And I said, man, that dog would bite you as soon as look at you. He said, yeah, said, these are smooth walls, and he can't climb them. I said, I think we ought to put on these cages for animals like that. But, and then went on, there was a pit bull in the next one who was just, he was turned in for adoption. Somebody's house pet. We don't adopt out animals like that. Or Rottweilers, that are grown, we just don't adopt them out. People turn them in, we don't adopt them out. It's just too dangerous because those animals will turn on you. A lot of folks got demons like that. They're their house pets. They pet them, you know. They want to keep their pet. They're like, you know, you smoke. Keep your pet, you know. You got a demon there called nicotine. Put him on a leash and take him out, you know. But eventually he's going to turn and bite you. And give you cancer, high blood pressure, and heart trouble. But meanwhile, you get to pet your pit bull, and he just sits and he doesn't run. But you know but yet that thing may turn on you. But you get to enjoy him. Yeah, I smoked at one time, and I didn't smoke. You know, cigarette smoked. I just sucked on it. I was just a sucker. Burned up all my money, you know. Okay. Now, a perverse spirit is assigned to family lines. It is a familiar spirit that runs in families. And you see people who are angry. I know in the youth group, my son said, Dad, and he mentioned this one particular kid. He said, what is wrong with him? He said, man, his hormones are just something else. And they had the youth group, they had this co-ed youth group go off, and my son was chaperoning. I said, well, you know who his uncle is, don't you? Oh, well, his uncle is a local physician there who's known to be somewhat of a rounder, you know. And saw a local husband came home and found him in bed with his wife, and he made it out the back window in his shorts, and his husband is running, chasing him down the street with a butcher knife, and he's in his shorts, and he runs into the police station for protection and gets the police to carry him home in his shorts. Now, that actually happened in my hometown, respected physician. But he was known, you know, just to jump from, and he had a perverse spirit. You know, he just was a real skirt chaser. And so here's his nephew. His nephew's got the same spirit in him. And if you, I talked to his sister, the boy of this young girl, and it seems that this seems to run in the family. The sister, she left to chase the Grateful Dead. and came back with two illegitimate children and on you know, a real hophead, rebellious, angry girl. That was his daughter. I'm sorry. The wayward physician's daughter. I need to be very careful on these tapes, you know, when you start talking about people. But these are all published facts. It's sad. But here this goes down through the family line. It's gone back into the family line. I mean, it's always been that way. That's just the way those men are. Nobody told his wife, you understand. But before they got married. But that, and so I said, well, that's just something that runs in family line, yeah? Your people have violent tempers, stubbornness, contrary, stubborn people that you can't tell something to. And it doesn't always run in sexual connotations, but it's there if that spirit wishes to go in that direction and finds an opening to bring you into bondage in that area. He has the ability to do so. But he will bring you into bondage in that area that he can seduce you into. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And the perverse spirit is a very powerful spirit, and it's one that goes down into you. It comes in. The base root is rejection. Because the outward sign is rebellion and stubbornness and obstinacy and bitterness. These people are always bitter and angry. Angry, bitter people. And it works out in their lives in perverseness. It works out in their lives in the sexual area and being perfectionistic. And it depends on the strength of the spirit and what and the helper spirits it has that come into it. You can see it in small children sometimes. And that's called schizophrenia. And demons come into you to make it possible for you to be somebody that you're not. A demon that will, another personality will come into you. And that demon personality will manifest. And so these things go down into you. And so fear comes into you, fear of judgment. And then, you know, you get to feeling sorry for yourself. You know, they just did you dirty. And you, every time somebody rejects you, and how many of the people in here have never been rejected? Well, all honest folks, you know, everybody's been rejected at one time or another. And your heritage is rejection. And Adam, after the fall, Adam begot Seth in his own image and likeness. And therefore, you are projected in the image of the fallen Adam, which is rejection. And this rejection is then comes down into you. And you get all this false compassion. How many of y'all ever worry about other folks? You know? And you get all these burdens for other people, and you're always out there working for somebody else. That way you don't have to worry about yourself if you always don't have to worry about what's bothering you. You don't have to worry about getting your life straight. If you're always worried about trying to straighten out somebody else, if you can tell somebody else what their problem is and give them some good constructive criticism on how they can get better, that's called a critical spirit. But, you know, I'm just trying to help you. You know what the devil does, you know? You get to feeling sorry for yourself, and you say, oh, God, you know. And the devil comes along, and he says, oh, you poor thing. Let me help you. And you say, you got a bad headache. Let me help you. And so he sits on and he stomps on your toe with the heel of his boot just as hard as he can. And then you don't worry about that headache anymore. Your foot hurts so bad. That's the way the devil helps you. And you get feeling sorry for yourself. And then you take false compassion, false responsibility, and then you go into depression. Okay, those are all those things that go in. But what comes out of you? You see, that's rebellion. And when you reject God's word, you have a perverse spirit that comes in. It's a rebellious, perverse spirit that comes out. Now, rebellion and bitterness is the same word, in the Hebrew, marah. And it's also attached up here to witchcraft, because it's for rebellion as is of the son of witchcraft. Because what is witchcraft? It's just trying to rebel against the order and manipulate things to get your way. That's all witchcraft is. It's just trying to manipulate things around to get your way. And so you see that this rebellious spirit and the root of bitterness goes down into you. And when you meet the people who have a perverse spirit, they're rebellious, they're stubborn, got stubborn pride, they're unteachable, they're deceived, and they got to always be in control, and they got this bitterness that goes down and makes them angry and unforgiving and always remembering and violent and always want to get even. You know, I don't get mad, I just get even. You ever heard that? Now, those are the people with this root of bitterness that have this perverse, rebellious spirit in them that runs in and comes because of rejection. And with rejection, and so on the inside of them, that comes out of them, and what's on the inside of them is all of this perversion of what is normal. Normal sex, normal compassion, normal guilt, normal conviction, not guilt, conviction that turns conviction into guilt and condemnation. And so to try to, you know, if you could just keep the rules and do everything perfect, nobody could criticize you and reject you. You know, if you just did everything perfect, nobody could reject you and nobody could criticize you. And so a spirit of perfection comes in. And these are the people who work hard all their life. You know, I'd always tried so hard to please, but it never was quite up to standard, you know. If you just put a little more effort in and worked a little bit harder, you'd have made it. Now, my mother was a wonderful person, and she tried as hard as she could. She had an alcoholic husband who was a mean drunk, brilliant man. He worked hard, left home and went to work every day, brought home a paycheck, drank it up. Tried to teach us what was right. Said, you know, one of these do as I say, don't do as I do. But, of course, you know, we do as he did. And mother put us through college out of sheer force of will. And I look back, you know, and I weep when I think about my mother and how hard she worked and how stubborn and rebellious and how much pain I caused her. You know, when I got saved, God made me go home and apologize. Go home and confess and apologize for all the pain and sorrow I'd caused her. I got on my knees in front of her and I told her about the church, you know, and she asked me what kind of church I was going to. I told her about the church. I told her about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and about miracles. And she looked at me and she said, "Now, Billy, you know what it sounds like to me?" I said, "What, Mama?" "Sounds like to me you've gone up there and got yourself all involved with a bunch of holy rollers." I said, "Yeah, that's right, Mother. I'm in the Holy Roller Church." And she said, "Oh, my God, the Holy Rollers have got my child." And she began to cry and walked out of the room. I didn't know what to do. I'm on my knees, you know, asking for forgiveness. And I got up, you know, and I saw looking out the window. A few minutes later, she came back in. She said, "Billy, where do y'all keep the snakes?" I said, "Mama, we don't handle no snakes. We just go to church like the Episcopalians." "Okay, okay then. But just don't tell me about all that hocus pocus stuff. I don't want to hear any more about that. But I forgive you." I thought she'd be kind and say, "You weren't that bad." But she said, "Yeah, you did cause me a lot of problems, but I forgive you." And we had a good relationship after that. But praise the Lord. And so that's the perverse spirit. And the perverse spirit is something that comes into you because of rejection. I personally believe that all people have a certain amount of perverseness and rebellion in them that they have not committed to God. But a person who has one of these real perverse spirits, like I told you about in the examples I used, those people need deliverance. Children need deliverance. If you have a child who has a perverse spirit that's come in at birth because of the sins of the fathers, you need to break the curses on the sins of the fathers and cast that thing out and take authority over it and cast that thing out of them and stand for it and stand and let the love of God flow through you. I was ministering at the Bible camp in the morning prayer meeting, a lady that I had been ministering to for 4 years, and we had cast all kind of demons out of this lady, and her life had changed, and she was doing so much better, and she was standing in prayer meeting, and this thing manifested, and it took control of her. And so I just made it go down. I said, "You know, we'll work." I said, "We'll get to you later." And so we went on through, and so that afternoon I asked a friend of mine who has a respected deliverance ministry in Louisiana if he would take her with one of the lady workers into a private room and get that thing out of her. Because I had a men's deliverance meeting, then I had the mass deliverance. And so I started at 1:30, and I got through at 5. I was going back to get some supper, and he came up and he says, "We got it back there. This thing is manifest. It's been manifested for 3 hours. It won't go up, won't go down. She won't say anything. She just stares and smiles and laughs. Needs you to come back in." And I went back in there, and the lady was sitting there, and I looked at her. And I felt the compassion of God just flow out of me. And that thing smirked at me. It just smirked. And I felt the righteous indignation of God. It just made... Who was that thing? And a verse came out of me that I had never used before. But I said, "You uncircumcised Philistine, who are you to defy the armies of the living God? You're going to come out in Jesus' name." And I put my arm around her and I said, "Come on, little sister, just push that thing out now in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I command you to be gone in Jesus' name." And I felt the power of God. And that thing came out. And so the lady workers talked to her lady, and she said, "Why was it that we worked for you for 4 hours and nothing happened? Knock no walked in here, and in 5 minutes you're free." And she said, "Well," and she explained it. She said she was detached. She could see the demon, but she was just sort of detached looking at the demon, and the demon was in control, and it was laughing at them. But when I walked in, she said, the love of God flowed out. And it couldn't stand against God's love. I just felt the compassion of God. It wasn't me. It was just the compassion of the Father flowing through that drove that perverse demon out, who had been there through 5 years of deliverance. But that was the strong man. And we'd stripped off all of his supporting mechanisms, all his branches and support, and he was there naked by himself. He didn't have any support. And he had to come out. But the thing that drove him out was God's love. People, let God's love and compassion. When you read the scriptures, you will find that when Jesus, it said, and he saw the multitudes and he had compassion on them. That word compassion is a Greek word that means to be moved in your gut. Moved in your bowels, it says in the old. He was moved in his bowels, it says in the old King James. He was moved with love and compassion for them. And he healed them. And said he had compassion on him and he healed them. That word always precedes the use, whenever there was a mass healing, a mass deliverance, it was always the love of God was there. And that's the thing that heals and delivers. God never does anything outside of love. It's his love for you. And he wants his love to flow through you, to flow into you, to know that he loves you unconditionally, that you're not a rejected child. You're not rejected anymore. The Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. You've been redeemed. Your mortgage, your ransom has been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been sanctified, made holy. You've been tried in the ecclesiastical court in heaven, and you've been found not guilty by the blood of Jesus Christ. And your body doesn't belong to you. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. By the blood of Jesus Christ, he has set us free. He has redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. He has made us children of God, accepted in the Beloved. And he loves us. He loved us enough to die for us. And he wants his love to flow through you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water to a dead and crying world. A world that's crying out for love. And is dying. Dead. Because it has no love in it. The copy love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's a perverse spirit. It's the absence of love. Comes in because love is denied. It's rejected. It manifests by rebelling against the order and perverts the good things that God has given into the bad things. And that's, so we're going to come against the perverse spirit now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's see. Can we take about a 5-minute break and give folks time to go to the restroom? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just praise your name, Lord. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that your spirit come down now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Just let your spirit flow over the people, Lord God. Just flow over the people now. In Jesus' name, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Now, Lord, I just bind up all the loose spirits. I ask you to send a legion of war angels, Lord, to gather up all the loose spirits and to haul them off wherever you want them, Lord God. And we bind up these spirits, Lord. We ask you have war angels to haul them off wherever you want them, Lord, that they won't come back. Get them off the property, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
He
was manifested in the flesh.
Died on the cross for my sin.
Was resurrected from the dead for my justification.
Ascended into heaven.
Sits on the right hand of the Father.
In the place of highest honor.
To ever make intercession for me.
God is my Father.
Jesus Christ is my big brother.
I am a child of the living God.
I have been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy.
I have been accepted in the beloved.
I am an heir of God
and joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I repent
of the sins of my ancestors,
the sins of idolatry,
of incest,
illegitimacy,
fornication,
returning evil for good,
the vagabond spirit,
the poverty curse.
I repent of these things.
I ask forgiveness
under the blood of Jesus Christ,
that the curse might be broken
on me
and my children
forever.
In the name of Jesus,
I repent
the sins of my ancestors
back 10 generations
in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus,
I call upon you
as my intercessor,
my Savior,
my Deliverer,
my Advocate.
Touch me now, Lord,
by the power of your Spirit,
to set me free,
set my children free,
my family free,
in the name of Jesus.
Lord, you know what that thing is
that binds me,
that torments me.
Set me free, Lord.
In the name of Jesus,
I call upon you.
For it is written
in Joel 2:32,
anyone
calls upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
Deliver me now, Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
I bind
the spirit of perverseness,
the spirit of rejection,
the spirit of rebellion,
and all kindred spirits.
I bind them now.
In Jesus' name.
I command them to leave me
and my children
and my grandchildren.
In the name of Jesus,
I break their power.
I command them to be gone.
In Jesus' name.
Leave me now.
In the name of Jesus.
All right, turn them loose. Perverseness, just turn them loose now.
I bind the spirits of perverseness and rebellion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, come out of God's people.
Come on out in the name of Jesus.
I bind you and I break your power.
I break the power of rebellion and witchcraft in the name of Jesus.
Come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Come out in the name of Jesus.
Be gone.
Be gone in Jesus' name.
All perverseness, all bitterness, I pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus
and command it to go.
Go. Go in Jesus' name.
All rejection, fear of rejection,
all perverseness in the name of Jesus.
Go in the name of Jesus.
That would pervert the good things of God.
Go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Go.
Go in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Be gone.
Y'all can sit down now.
Say, dear Lord,
I confess
the sin of unforgiveness.
Lord, there are people who've hurt me in the past
that I've resented,
I get frustrated with,
and I want to see them pay for what they did. Lord, I confess this is sin. I ask forgiveness under the blood of Jesus. I ask you to bless my enemies, Lord. Bless those who've hurt me, who've used me, abused me, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to let your rain fall upon them. Bring them to salvation. Touch them, Lord. Deliver them from the perverse spirit, Lord. Give them a gentle and a quiet spirit that's precious in your sight. Oh, Lord, I ask you just to touch them and just touch them, Lord, in Jesus' name. I forgive, Lord. I want no repayment. I want no revenge. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have had sinful thoughts. I had lustful thoughts. That I have participated in sexual sin in the past. I ask forgiveness. And I break the curses on me and my children and my lineal descendants forever. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirits of perversion, perverted lust, to leave me in Jesus' name. I don't want you in my life or the lives of my children. I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Leave now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, all you perverted spirits now. I just bind you, and I command you to leave. Everybody cough now. Come on out. All perverted spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rebellion, perversion, come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All spirits of perverted sex, come out in the name of Jesus. All you perversion spirits, come out. All you spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus, of self-hate, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, you spirits of self-hate, come out. Come on out, 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 all of you now. Come out of there. All you spirits of rejection, come out in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you all and I break your power. And I command you to leave, be gone in Jesus' name. All spirits of perfectionism, all spirits of false compassion, false burdens, inordinate compassions, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, 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 every bit of you. I break your power and I command you to leave and be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And I loosen a gentle and a quiet spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind this thing. I break its power and I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Be gone. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just bind all the perverse spirits now in the children in the name of Jesus. I bind all these perverse spirits, Lord. I break their power. They can't have these children now. I bind all the spirits of rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ, of perverted rebellion in the name of Jesus. I bind these things. I bind all these strong men, and I command them to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be gone. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you and I praise you and I bless you and I glorify you, Lord, for your great and almighty God and a glorious God. There is no God like you. I thank you and I praise you and I bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, sometimes when you bring stuff, bring too much stuff, you get it lost in here. You don't know what you did with it. Here it is. I want to pray a Father's blessing. I want to bless. I think the Father's blessing is most important. How many of you have never been blessed by your Father? Okay, I'm going to pray a patriarchal blessing over you now. In the name of Jesus, my child, you are a gift from God. I thank God for allowing me to be your father. I want you to know that you're very precious and I love you. You've given me much joy and I'm very proud of you. I bless you with healing from the wounds that I and others have caused. I bless you with overflowing peace, a peace that only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, provides. I bless you with fruitfulness in life, good fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. You are the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. I bless you with prosperity, for you will prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I bless you with success, for your meditation upon the word of God that will make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And your way will be prosperous and you will have good success. I bless you with a greater depth of spiritual understanding and a closer walk with your Lord. You will not stumble or falter, for the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships in life. I bless you with abounding love, enabling you to minister God's comforting love and grace to others. For you are blessed, my child. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, let your love fall down on your people now, Lord God. I speak healing to the wounds and the hurts now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to the wounds and the hurts now in the name of Jesus. I bind and break the power of self-pity in the name of Jesus. And I release into them a knowledge, the spirit and wisdom of knowledge of who they are in Jesus Christ, a child of the living God. Praise you, Lord God. I break the power of self-pity now. I break the power of self-accusation. I break the power of self-hate. And I release the love of the Father to flow through them. Unconditional love to flow into your people, Lord. Love that you've never known before, Lord. Your love, your unconditional love to flow through them. Flow into them like a river, Lord. Like a mighty river, like Niagara Falls, Lord. Like a mighty river, Lord. In the name of Jesus. The power, Lord. And I loosen in them the power of the Holy Spirit, of the anointing, that they may minister to others, Lord. That they shall walk in your ways, Lord. And that be pleasing in your sight and to do the things that please you, Lord, for you have given them your spirit and your power to bring this to pass as they call upon you, Lord. I bind the spirit of death and dumbness that would veil them from your knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind and I break his power in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit that their eyes will be opened, that they will behold you in your glory, Lord, and what is the hope of their calling and the power that you administered, that you have endued them with, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I speak this forth. I speak it forth in your spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I speak it forth to come forth in their lives. In Jesus' name. And all God's folks said, amen. Fill them full.
Amen. Before you go, we'd like to pray for you, Brother Noel. Can we do that? Let's all stand. We've been really blessed by the ministry of the Spirit you brought us this weekend, Brother. Amen? Amen? Amen. God, we thank you for this brother. And he leaves today to depart, go back home. Father, we pray you'd go with him with a special grace and blessing. Father, you would just be around him, be above him, beneath him, Father. Cushion him, protect him. Lord, we pray the blessing on his life, Lord Jesus, as he has given unto us, Father, so you would give back up unto him, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would open doors for my brother. Lord, open doors that hitherto have never been opened for him before, Lord. Open opportunities, Father, venues and arenas, Lord, to offer that which you have given him to feed others, Jesus. Lord, we bless him, Lord. I know, Lord, he's a true saint of God that loves you and has an anointing in his life. Father, use that for the betterment of the kingdom, Father. Father, we pray a blessing over his all of his physical needs, financial needs, Lord, his...